No, 10. Yo, it's Trent Knox, and this is Hard Knocks Life with Trent Knox, the Trent Knox Show, number 94. Guess that's an intro. And well, this is a long overdue, very long overdue podcast, that a solo cast, if it were. And the reason why I need to do this is I'm about a month overdue for quarter three of running a small business in 2020. And it's mostly a reflection of what has happened to navigate through this pandemic and just sort of journey, dialogue. That's the word that's coming up out of my mind. My brain today has been very interesting. I've had a bunch of memes and songs in my head, and I've kind of been jingling along through the day. But what I'm trying to say is a diary or catalog of what I've experienced in business throughout up until today, which is like a little bit further into quarter four. Well, so you can go back and listen to quarter two and quarter one of my recaps on the podcast. You go to anchor.fm/Trent Knox and you can find it there. But obviously those are some of the most the roughest times in business. And the reason why they were so tough was because of the pandemic. And seeing no foreseeable future where there was going to be a consistent client in my life, and knowing what I wanted to specialize in it, and being sort of having your ego a little bit wrapped up in being, a one-stop shop for something. I've now had to be more than just a one-stop shop. I've had to lower my ego a little bit in that I needed to figure out alternative methods of discoverability. And what I mean by that is not just spending money on Facebook ads or just spending money on Yelp ads or print and digital ads to go out to God knows who to try to get clients that were coming in as sort of cold leads, and you had to convert them, and now instead of doing that, I've started to utilize Craigslist, online forums, Facebook groups, freelance websites to find warmer clients. And what I mean by that is like clients that are in the market for a particular service. And not always does my skill set serve those clients, but sometimes, working with me, their goals are accomplished sooner rather than later. And I that's the feedback that I get mostly from my clients is that I solve problems that they've had that they haven't been able to to get a qualified person to do the work. And so, in addition to that, I've been able to more better realize what esports is to me. And I've, you know, even though I started the year off thinking that that I would be able to turn esports into a full-time career, because I had no expectations that the pandemic was approaching me in this way. I didn't think that the pandemic was going to put me in a position that I couldn't make esports. Sorry, I don't know, got a little phlegm there. Esports a full-time position in my life. And it became more of a side hustle. And that's okay, because it's given me the opportunity to further and expand my network, rather than focusing on only creating original content for esports. You know, it's a big day with what's going on here in the United States, and the, you know, exchange of power that will come from a Biden-Harris administration versus a continuation of a administration under the Trump-Pence. What does that look like for the next 4 years? I don't know. And I'm a little bit scared that they will not be held to the level of scrutinization that the previous administration had been held to. And I think that for the improvement and the betterment of our economy, our foreign policy, everything, that everything should always under a heavy microscope, and that scrutinization, and they should be held accountable for not only utilizing the language and lexicon that they're familiar with, but also language that is universal, and that can be comprehended by the layman and the average American. Because although they suggest that the average American is a supporter of theirs, it's highly unlikely given the fact that the country is so divided. So if they continue to use this language and vocabulary of the elite, then we'll only see the decline of what sort of fundamental things were built during the previous administration. While they may not like it that the administration under the Republicans were more, average people, and so now it's more of the aristocracy that will be promoted within this new administration. But another thing that I think a lot of people will benefit from is that it will be less scrutinized, and that it can go into sort of a out of sight, out of mind approach, and that they can go about their lives, even though they're being negatively impacted through legislation and things like that. They're able to ignore it because it's not being highlighted by the media. But anyway, so the question is, what sort of infrastructure will be built out by the State Department so that doing business with more people is easier to do business with people, I should say, companies, entrepreneurs, the like. Because of course, like myself, who's in the market for building out infrastructure to my parents' property out in rural Texas, and asking, you know, asking the local cable department to, or not cable department, the local internet provider to build out fiber optic to the land that they live on, and asking, like, what's the cost of building that infrastructure? Because I like to think that within the next year, I'm able to build a studio out there for Esports Business Network, for Cyber City Media, for Trent Knox Productions, so that people can come to my studio and we can create content that goes to Amazon Video Direct, that goes to Netflix, that goes to, Hulu, that goes to Twitch, that goes to YouTube, that we create, you know, a variety of different pieces of content that go out to, you know, go to distributors, content distribution networks, OTTs, that offer the ability to monetize the content that you create. Also, the ability to learn, you know, test, play. I like to think that I could get to that point. And it'll take a little bit of a process to get to that point. I know that I've neglected podcasting for quite some time, and I'd like to get back into podcasting. I'd like to, you know, get back with my friends in podcasting, from doing Austin Live and Local, and really come back and provide a lot of value there. From what I've learned over the process the last 2 years, I feel like I've neglected my friend Brian Kern in ways, given that he helped, elevate the Austin Live and Local podcast. From the fruition of Austin Live and Local, when I first moved back to Austin, Texas, and wanted to see a change in the entertainment scene in Austin, and the reason why I started that podcast to where it's at today, I feel I'm really doing it a disservice. And I don't know what to say. I don't know what it'll take to get me to the point that I want to be at so that I can continue to provide for the entertainment scene here in Austin. And I know that, you know, the pandemic has made it complicated for actors, models, photographers, videographers, musicians, DJs, painters, street performers, bartenders, the whole nine yards of the local entertainment business. And hopefully with what I've built with Austin Live and Local, we can get a little bit further. I know that there are some things that are going on in Facebook groups within Austin, in a variety of different entertainment groups, that I've done my best to offer my services. But I'm not sure what kind of capital that they have to afford to work with someone like me, who has an established network, to a degree that is different and unique compared to the average influencer agency, the average podcast network, the average social media marketing team. There are bigger firms in Austin that are, a little bit more established, like Do 512, The Statesman, Austin 360. And I know, like, if I had a list in front of me, I could literally list every one of those that inspires me, that I look up to them based on their ability to create content, their ability to network, their ability to publish, distribute. Like, there are people who are, above me in the top 10 of the competitors in the space in Austin, and then, one of the questions that came up recently in Facebook groups was that a person is trying to advertise to a younger audience, a younger demographic, and they want to use, you know, streamers, local streamers to get their fans to be their fans and do affiliate marketing / collaboration / influencer marketing, right? And the thing about that is that there isn't a lot of people like myself in Austin. And if you are out there and you are listening to this, please contact me so that we can network and discuss like the strategies that go into local influencer marketing. It's a challenge because businesses want to they want to do business with these local celebrities, like a good example would be the DJs in Austin, right? Not the gamers, not the the comedians too, but not the average streamer, not the average Instagram influencer, because while they live in Austin, they're not from Austin. They don't possess a captive audience in that local area. And I think this is a challenge that influencers across the world are faced with, is because what's their impact on local businesses? What's their impact on local municipalities? Unless you're a local politician, your impact on people is not gonna be that engaging. And in order to amplify that, in order to find the right person, you need essentially an influencer that specializes in that particular agency. And I find myself into being the top five people, but potentially, arguably, I'd like to see the competition. I'd like to see it. I wish it was ranked legitimately. Now, to a degree, I think that musicians are in that category, but they're just not motivated. The local musicians are not motivated to make an effort towards this. The DJs are. Unfortunately, that doesn't really hit the right market or audience that these companies are looking to engage with. They're looking to engage with an audience of a younger demographic of gamers, TikTokers, sort of Snapchat community, basically community college, first year of university kids, for lack of a better term, or young adults, of course. Outside of just making some form of piece of content for advertising, right? So if you have local influencers that have celebrity, that have attractability, if that's it's probably not the right word, magnetism to them, that they're a magnet to people, and that their face, you know, is recognizable, bringing those their audience, their fans into the local business, and getting that their audience and fans to become the audience and fans of the small business, and making transactions which lead to being able to grow the business. And I think a lot of people have had this conversation that with me, that money isn't, you know, the only value, which is true. There are other values, but generally, and it's almost like a cop out when people say this, because small businesses aren't only interested in this making money. Now, social proofing and what's the word I'm looking for? The testimonials, they add value as well, right? They add the value of future transactions. And so, like, small businesses, for whatever's worth, that are listening to what I'm saying, actually, more specifically, local small businesses that are suffering from the impacts of this pandemic, I encourage you to seek all government subsidy and just pursue whatever means you possibly can, whether that's asking your friends, family, colleagues, associates for any sort of financial support to get over that and just focus on that other value, the emotional, intrinsic testimonials, and ask for help. That's the important thing. That's what I when going back to the beginning of this podcast is the emotional or the ego, right? Getting over this sense of being too good for help or assistance. And it is hard at this time, if you are a brick and mortar business, to get people to show up because there's no sizzle right now. It's all steak. And if you don't have the best steak in the world without the sizzle, the show, like, if you don't have the best steak, if your steak is just average, it's people aren't going to make an exerted effort to go and get that poor quality under not undercooked. That's not what I'm saying. I like raw, or not raw, like medium rare steaks. But I mean, what I'm trying to say is just like it does, like it's not the best quality, it's not the best, it's not the best, it's not amazing, it's not a steak you could die for, it's just not good, it's not great, it's not amazing. And we in this time you have to have the best. You have to have Texas's or Washington's or Ohio's best steak, hands down, top 10, number one steak for someone to make a exerted effort to go and patronize your business in person. And if they aren't, they're coronavirus. I say it right now, those people are the coronavirus because they don't have a sense of, they have no sense of rationality or logic because they put themselves in a position by going out to contract it, and what for a low quality steak. I implore small businesses to get to put more effort in the quality of their business than the survival tactics to scrape by penny to penny. Focus on what you're offering is, and make that the best. Don't sugarcoat it. That's the worst part, the sizzle of it all. Sugarcoating it, making it, making it more appealing, more attractive, but offering, nothing to make that person want, make that customer, that client want to come back, or want to do business with you again. And it's focusing on your offering first and foremost, making sure that it surpasses all competition. It is the best, hands down, no arguments. That's what I implore. And I think that the challenge with that is it's very difficult right now to measure yourself in competition to others, because everyone's facing these issues outside of the restaurants, car dealerships, the computers, you know, big box retailers that already possess the best, you know, arguably in their top five around in your area. And right, and so if you're a smaller business that just got started, your network's not really that strong, you know, your quality is not that good. Man, I don't know what to say, because I mean, you gotta try harder, but obviously the things that were the cheating around corners aspect of getting a famous influencer to show up and you know, post on their Instagram or Snapchat or whatever, that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't right now. It doesn't, because unless you have the best steak, the sizzle doesn't mean anything. It doesn't. You're gonna get some of the people who are, you know, looking to be taken advantage of, the people who are ignorant and they're just haven't done the research, or the person that's just like, you know, fly by night, you know, flying by the seat of their coattails. Whatever they're flying by, and they're just stopping in because it's the only thing along their journey to stop in and get a, you know, a low quality offering. And they buy yours because you're the only game in town. You've got a monopoly, right? You're monopolized in this, you know, 5-block radius or 10-block radius, 20-block radius, whatever. And so, I guess something that could be done is, you know, pivoting. You got to pivot. You got to pivot from being, you know, offering something that's highly competitive, like, I don't know, iced tea. At least there are sweet tea here in Texas. Or, you know, if you got the best sweet tea barbecue in Texas, you know, you got to pivot into another business. If that was your bread and butter, you gotta pivot out of that barbecue, sweet tea, margarita, the bars, whatever it is. Pivot out of that and get into a business that is more lucrative and less competitive. You know, for me, that was, you know, not focusing so much on Austin Live and Local, because it is a highly competitive business. Podcasting about Austin, because Austin, Texas, it is transient. It is whatever the popular opinion is of it. And at this moment in time, it is not the live music capital of the world. It's not. Unfortunately, it just isn't. All the, you know, the bars and Sixth Street boarded up for too long to basically make it irrelevant. I mean, Austin is irrelevant outside of, you know, the technology companies that have relocated to this area and brought in people from around the world. That's why I call it transient. It is whatever the corporate big business blockbusters of the world think that it is, whether it be you know, the best barbecue, which, you know, that's a contest, you know, that's a contest in and of its own. Whether it be the live music capital of the world, whether it be the fact that, you know, it's now arguably the comedy capital with Joe Rogan moving here, or a seat, at least a place of innovation with Elon Musk, building Tesla, factories out here, or Jeff Bezos building Amazon's, distribution centers out here, or IBM, Apple, you know, that there's a lot of technocracy going on here in Austin. And, you know, live streamers on Twitch, on YouTube, on Facebook have made a decision to relocate to Austin based on Google Fiber being in the area, and then maybe they can get on the network and have a consistent stream, 1 gigabyte upload, 1 gigabyte download, and, you know, produce high quality content. And I pause here because I'm thinking about the fact that I live in a suburb of Austin. I live north of Austin in Georgetown, and I've lived quite a bit on the north side of Georgetown, probably the last community before you're in you know, Weir, Wahlberg, Jarrell, you know, that area, and not so far to be like Temple or Killeen or anything like that. But you know, I live quite a bit to the north of Georgetown proper, right? And I live way north of Austin proper, you know. And so, like, there's, you know, degradation as you get further north, further south, further east, or further west of the metropolis of Austin. Bat City, crazy town. Weirdville. That is what Austin is, and it has been for a while. And so, with the streamers moving here, with influencers moving to Austin, and you know, like, that's not entirely fair, because if you're a successful influencer, if you're a successful streamer, content creator, what have you, entrepreneur, e-commerce person, you don't necessarily have to take up residency in a particular place, or you know, make it your hometown. Right. And so nothing is that found, that set in stone, that foundational, because smart influencers are prepared to travel at any point in time. They're prepared to go be the face of any place. They're ready to, you know, go do business in Kuwait. They're ready to go do business in the UAE. They're ready to do business in India, China, Korea. They're ready to do business around the world, wherever their notoriety takes them. That their celebrity takes them to that degree, you know. And so Austin, while it offers a lot in form of networking, communication, and marketing, it's not designed for the local. It isn't, because it is so transient. And my best efforts to provide a local outlet have failed in my mind, because the local community has become infatuated with the celebrity of the migrant. For lack of a better term, the California takeover, right? The New York laydown. It's it's just been occupied. I mean, Austin is occupied. The ranchers, the cowboys, the muchachos, the mariachis, the hip hop artists, the graffitiers, those people in Austin are not appreciated to the level that they deserve, at least from the foundations of building what Austin is a culture, which is a multicultural, diverse area. And the reason why that is because cultures outside of Austin, you know, these transient cultures, have suffocated the foundational aspects of what makes Austin great. That it's almost like twofold, because that mass exodus from places that that were experiencing their own pitfalls and down, you know, pitfalls. One of the things that they say is, you know, don't bring with you the place that you fled, or don't bring these things with you, that don't bring whatever the saying is, right? You get the point. And it's unfortunate, right? So now what people are sort of forced to deal with is an ever-growing population of homeless, an ever-growing population of gentrification, an ever-growing population of buffoonery, and it's as if the people that have celebrity that bring it to Austin, their own celebrity, they're not empowering or they're not opening their eyes to look for local influencers, local people enough. You know, they're not going into the history of people and they're being, you know, the wool is being pulled over their eyes by other transient people who've not created that multi-generational attachment to the area. And we could go back into history. We could go deep into history with we could go really deep into history with like what is the Europeans coming in and taking the land of the Native Americans to now what potentially could be the case of a whole new version of immigrant just laying another layer of sizzle, icing, onto what is a cake that is poorly made. And maybe that's the fact. Maybe the admiration, the idolization of a native organic original isn't as high quality of a steak, of a cake, of a whatever you want to call it. Like the going back to what I was saying is like maybe it isn't that great. Maybe my desire to hold some truth, it isn't worth it, because ultimately they're just going to continue to add more sizzle, add more icing, add more of the garbage on top of what was a foundationally a piece of garbage. Maybe there was no true foundational core of quality, of consistency, of taste. There is no taste. But I digress. I digress in the fact that my best efforts never led to the happiness, the enjoyment, the pleasure that I so sought, right? In Austin Live and Local. Even though I'm still putting in effort to find that diamond in the rough, to find that thing that makes it real, that this fairy tale that is told to that I was told that Austin is a place of authenticity, of originality, of true passion, and that it was foundationally built on a real idiosyncrasy of diversity and inclusion, and it wasn't these radicals to either direction, north, south, east, or west, that corrupted it and turned it into a fallacy and fabrication of what it needed to be, or that it was destined to be, that it is destined to be. It's, and I'm a distant observer, because, you know, unfortunately, my family is transient. Whether I like it or not, this is just where I grew up. It is not where I was born. I wasn't born and bred here. I wasn't, you know, I'm not a native Texan. I'm not a native Hawaiian. I'm not a Native American. I guess to a degree we can call ourselves Native Americans at this point in time, but we are not what Christopher Columbus deemed the Indians. I'm not, I was born in America, but I don't know how to define myself. And I feel that this is maybe something that has led to sort of the corruption of an Austin, Texas, is we don't know who we are. We don't have a significant history that wasn't solidified. Our legacy, Austin's legacy, was not solidified. It wasn't solidified in the University of Texas. It wasn't solidified in Franklin's Barbecue. It wasn't solidified in the Moody Theater. It wasn't solidified in the Bob Bullock Museum. It's not solidified in any of these tourist attractions, or a Georgetown Square all by it. The power of Austin is what most people say is in its people. But unfortunately, its people have really let it down. It's its people that sold it off to corporate overlords, that sold it off to diabolical advertising agencies. They stripped it of its culture. And we're only left with a city that is corrupted, that is disrupted, and is looking for identity. And I appreciate everybody who's on the live stream on Twitch and YouTube for tuning in to this rant, as it were, for the podcast. Again, if you want to listen to this after the fact, you can listen to it on anchor.fm/TrentKnox. And I appreciate you for tuning in. Like, comment, and subscribe, please. Also, if you have it in you, then some sort of contribution to any number of my projects will be greatly appreciated, whether it be Austin Live and Local, Cyber City Media, Trent Knox Productions, Esports Business Network, or whatever next thing that I'm going to get myself involved in. Just be a contributor, join the community, be active in some way in supporting everything that's going on in the world. And I will take a moment to answer Arjit's question about how's the day going. The day is going great. I'm really looking at it like what's planning to come. We've been talking about in the past 45 minutes about the history of what's been going on up until quarter three of 2020. And I think it is about high time that we discuss what can be done in the future. How can we look at this in an optimistic way? How can we be motivated to get things done? What are the plans? How can we organize ourselves to keep going? And so the day is great. The day is great. The sun is out. Everything is positive in that way. But the history, let's make the history that way too. Let's make it so that we look back on the time that has passed, and that we look at that in favor, in a positive light, rather than what is currently the case of a very dark past that we leave behind us. Now I get off my soapbox and my diatribe to say this, is that the efforts that I have moving forward are to make esports, at least through the Esports Business Network, more inclusive. It has been a question of mine recently that I've posed to myself, is there money in esports, or is it money that is creating esports? And at this moment in time, and I'm talking about esports both online and offline, this is an includes a big picture observation of esports. It's not a little, a little perspective of what esports is, okay? Esports right now is built and driven by money. And why do I say it is built and driven by money? Well, because the public perception of what esports is a production made by companies that have transitioned, like ESPN, even though they've shut down, companies like Cheddar, even though they've shut down, companies like Blizzard, Riot, that have built this forward-facing version of esports that we all know and love. Professional teams like FaZe Clan, like 100 Thieves, like Team Liquid, like C9, like Optic, like any of the household names, when it currently current household names that we speak of when we talk about esports. And the issue with that is that it is built by money, and that it is not outputting money, Not enough money to say that it is a viable career source. It is an ideology that it could be a career source because the opportunities that are available are high mountains to climb. They are not easy mountains to climb. The summit to which that flag is planted for you to gain that opportunity is not easy. It is a treacherous hike up a long, steep hill. Even though there are platforms like Hitmarker, I always get this wrong, Hitmarker.net, iGenta, and eFuse. These websites are designed to showcase the opportunities that they are in gaming and esports. And yet, they still under-deliver the attraction for people to get involved in esports is much greater than the opportunities that are currently being placed in front of people. And I don't know why my camera is not getting focus, but if you're watching the video on YouTube, like, comment, and subscribe, or Facebook, or Twitch, wherever you are. I can't understand how these companies are raising capital. They're getting, you know, advertiser dollars. They're generating consumer revenue, and yet there's no growth. There's very little growth from what I consider growth, meaning that I'm not seeing an abundance of opportunities listed on these job marketplaces, gig opportunities for people to just try, to taste, to experiment within esports. It is a restricted category of opportunity. It's that you have to be essentially have already built and established a career in traditional sports or traditional entertainment or traditional marketing and advertising to actually secure and lock in a position, that there's not enough entry-level opportunities. And not even just entry-level, but maybe a significantly a position that is substantial enough to pay for your cost of living, that maintain a quality of life that is adequate for living in whatever city, state, country that you're living in, right? It's just so much built on nepotism in a way, based on who you know rather than what you know or what you can do. Or even if you can't do it, they're giving opportunity to people that are, you know, maybe aren't made from it or cut from that cloth. But anyway, so this is a question that I ask. Is there money in esports? Is money creating esports? Which means that the diversification of wealth has discovered that there is a commercial opportunity within gaming and esports, that they see that gamers are willing and motivated to spend, but it's not those efforts that those commercial diversifications of wealth firms are making aren't in the interest of gamers, because they are not gamers themselves. They don't understand the market. They don't understand the people. So I go back and I talk about why I have so much emotion in this, why I'm optimistic about the overall direction of esports, the hustle, the work ethic, the networking that needs to go into esports, is because that it is a position in life, a quality of life, a dream, a journey, something that millions and millions of people around the world desire to be involved in. That's the life that they want to live. That's their purpose, their long-term goals. the thing that they need to do in life is esports, is gaming, right? It's not sitting in a manufacturing facility pushing a product that is obsolete, that serves widgets to whoever in the world for no good reason, that technology is obsolete. It's only serving to maintain a demographic of robots and zombies that have not evolved. That it's just a paycheck. It's just a paycheck. That position becomes just a paycheck and not where someone wants to spend their lives, their time, the limited amount of time that we do have on this little green planet that we live on called Earth. Oh, little green planet. My apologies. Little blue planet. I must be from another planet. I must be an alien, because I feel alien to the way that currently the workforce around the world is operating. I feel as though that it's being somehow misdirected, and that it's foundationally built on what do people want and why is it not being, you know, offered to them? Why is it that it takes so much hard work, labor intensive things to foster these opportunities? Why is it that we're not discovering them at a greater magnitude? And so, as I look back at these notes and I mull over what I've been able to do thus far in the past few months, in pushing forward businesses in esports, I think, is there a monetary means to which people would spend money with me in my efforts to grow the industry of esports through business? And how am I able to make people's businesses bigger, not in the sense of consulting, not in the sense of networking, but in the sense of making it bigger, making it larger, up, you know, water-sizing it, you know, super-sizing, you know, making it bigger, making it greater, building back better, these sentiments of elevating small businesses, elevating medium-sized businesses, and even large businesses in esports, because it's such an abundance of opportunity if they took advantage of it, of making the opportunity. You have to make the opportunity. Like, it just has to exist, and if that opportunity exists, then it could easily level up into more lucrative, financially lucrative opportunities. It just needs to grow. The industry needs to grow of esports. You know, some of the numbers that have been floating around about how gaming is, I'm gonna go back and look at this post that I made in the Esports Business Network group. So if you're not a member of the Esports Business Network group, and I don't know what you're waiting for, because it's where we're talking about big business in esports and gaming. We're talking about, you know, what what needs to be done to grow the industry. And the numbers from Newzoo say that it's $159.3 billion at the overall market value of gaming. And that's a number there. They skew esports to being around 1.1 billion, but then there's a contract, an argument by Dr. Seth Jenny, argues that Newzoo underreported the overall value of esports market. He suggests the value is more like, more like 24.9 billion. When we look at the overall valuation of esports companies, activations, and things such as like DreamHack and events and things. And so there's, obviously the market value of gaming, is going to be greater than esports, right? Because not everyone who is a gamer, is also a fan of competitive gaming, right? And so those people who play story-based games, you know, some of them do go into speedrunning and I always forget what the name of it is, but Iron Man challenges, in gaming, but we're still not getting the exposure that it would need to make it to where multiple individuals are there's a lot of people making money in esports. Don't get me wrong. Like, unfortunately, I'm not one of them at this point in time, but is it because I'm not good enough? And I know a lot of people, other people who are not making money in esports and are wanting to make money in esports. And is it because they just haven't gotten their first opportunity? What is it? Because I'm not having this conversation enough about what it takes to make money in esports. What is it that people need to do to get their first dollar, to get their second dollar, 100, 1,000? What is it? What do we have to do? What's next? What's going on that makes it, you know, a viable career choice? I want to get people to start not only building their portfolios and building their brands, but also asking the harder questions and not just being stamped as a consumer, because we're all consumers. Well, everyone who's passionate about gaming and esports are consumers of the thing. And arguably, even the non-endemic investors that get into the space are in some form or fashion gamers, whether that is that they play chess or maybe they are just lame. Maybe those people are lame and all they like to do is talk, you know, talk mess, bet on the stock market, which to some extent the stock market is gamified, you know, and it is up and downs and it is financial markets and it is blockchain and it is venture capitalism, you know, it is these things. But come on, let's put a little bit more effort into making esports industry careers available at scale, and that it doesn't matter where you're living, that it's easy to get an opportunity as a contractor, as a gig worker, as a as an employee, a part-time, full-time contract, whatever it is. let's make it easier. Let's do it. Let's push hard. Let's work diligently at making this work and making it more discoverable. And I think the thing is that there's so much education that needs to go into it because people just don't even think about it. They see it and it's so mystifying. Esports in so many ways is mystifying. You know, you see the establishment of entertainment, the establishment, because all by one day that someone, a production team is working on esports events, the next day they're working on something completely different. But there needs to be a production companies that are solely based in esports, and that there's enough finances to go around to support a company that only works in esports events. Because people are really sick and tired of the same old, as far as production goes. You know, it looks like esports has not innovated in 6 years, 5 years, 5 to 6 years. There's no innovation. There's nothing new. It doesn't feel different. It's so introductory all the time. And sometimes it's regressive. Like if you look at some of the conferences that did, you know, had bigger budgets and they had the shag carpet, the low lighting with the RGB and tons of free products, premium, entertainment at the highest level, the best of the best, no shortcuts, best of the best. Sometimes it was at that level, and often it ended up being a cold, very cold experience when it came to the, you know, the 2019 to 2020 experience of video gaming and esports. It was not exciting. There was nothing unique. It didn't feel next level. It didn't feel like it was, that nothing was being added to the production quality. But I just want to, you know, the reason why I'm getting so passionate about this is because I like to cover esports, and I wish that I had more time to you know, devote to it. But I'm unfortunately not, you know, esports doesn't pay the bills to the level that I wish it did, and so I could focus on the different champions in League of Legends. I could look at the different meta in Rocket League. I could see the roster changes when it comes to Madden. I could see how vantage points work in Halo. How you stay consistent with items in Fortnite. How you be a better strategy when it comes to Hearthstone, unit management, when it comes to RTSs like StarCraft 2, or a variety of different esports. And I don't mean to leave anything out. Mobile gaming, for that matter, PUBG. I'm in it, but I'm not really in it because I feel like my foot's dabbling in it. I feel like I'm a fair weather esports analyst or a fair weather, esports entrepreneur. I don't feel hard in it. I don't have the means to be hard in it, you know. And unfortunately, I look at the news stories about, you know, people like Aaron Ashley Simon or Jacob Wolf being laid off from organizations like Cheddar and ESPN, and it's like, it's so depressing. It's so saddening, and they're very positive people, but they're also at the tippity top of the tippity top food chain when it comes to this opportunity. And the fact that they're living financially off of esports is amazing. And I know that it's hard work. I know that, but it's at least an opportunity, and that got them in the door. And obviously that led to greater and better success. But there are so many contractors that are in the esports space that also have to write about gaming, that also have to write about celebrity, that they also have to do write about other forms of entertainment, not just focus solely on esports and growing the brand and brands in esports. And so I just rambled off there and really went in about it. But I mean, I'm looking for it. I'm wanting it. I'm hungry for it. I want to be a magnet for that opportunity. And whether it goes to me or it goes to someone else in my network, I'd like to see that it gets highlighted. I would like for them to be championed. I want them to, I think that I think this is the case, and this is part of my ego speaking, is that I'd like to be acknowledged for fostering that connection, that network. I'd like to make it be something. I really would. I mean, I don't think, I don't feel like I'm being congratulated. I don't want, I don't think I'm being acknowledged. I'm having to acknowledge, which is like really, really, really depressing. Like, I'm having to make such an exerted effort to go out there and make a name for myself, while, and I feel it feels unbalanced, and so I end up feeling as though I'm being crazy or a nuisance, or I'm being, I'm just being ignored, or I'm being snuffed, or something that doesn't feel good. It feels bad in ways. It feels as though like I'm the only one doing it, and I can't understand whether I'm the only one doing it and that's a good thing, or I'm the only one doing it because there's no value. There's nothing, no value to be gotten. But I don't believe that. I don't, in my heart, believe that there's no value in gaming and esports. But there's no value ultimately there's ultimately no value in war. There's ultimately no value in vacation, hospitality. There's no value there. You don't need to go on vacation. You need to work hard. You need to work all the time. You never need to let up off. You should literally, employers, and this is not true. This is not true what I'm about to say, but the employer should shackle you to your desk and hold you locked to that printing press where you have to, move the widgets and move the dials and click the buttons, because there's no, why should you deserve to go on vacation? Why should you deserve to enjoy your life? Why should you get to experience things? You shouldn't. According to them, you have no purpose. There's no reason for you to exist, so might as well exist as a corporate crony or slave to the man or whatever it may be, right? That's what they're pushing, the narrative that they're pushing. So what should be done? What can be done to reverse that narrative, to make entrepreneurship, optimism, motivation the thing that is held in high regard, that people respect you based on your attempt to be entrepreneurial? And I think the reason why is it's crabs in a bucket mentality. So there's a bunch of investors, a bunch of our investors, a bunch of entrepreneurs trying to climb the mythical beanstalk to get the golden goose, and so we're all just dragging each other down as we go. Now that those fortunate enough for getting an entry level position in the corporate, environment and able to climb the corporate ladder and sacrifice their personal well-being, and maybe they do love that. Maybe that's what they love. There are individuals who love that, and those individuals that don't understand why they're doing it.
that they do it because it's what their mom did and their dad did and their grandparents did, and they just perpetuate this system of consistently increasing their quality of life while diminishing the quality of others. So I say this all to say this, that esports doesn't need to be put on everyone's back burner. If you have the means to make it happen, please do. Please, because I need that inspiration. I need that motivation. I need to see you. I need to see you doing it. I need you to see you do it big and be someone that's entrepreneurial. Be someone that's a small business and make it happen. Beat me. Make it better than me. Like, and tell me and show me and help me and be, let's be competitive, but let's boost it. Let's make it the best that it ever could be. And I think along the way we'll learn a lot. This is a long journey, obviously. We'd like to see it be financially lucrative immediately, but unfortunately maybe that's just not possible. I don't know. Meanwhile, of course, and this is where I'm very disheartened to say this, is that I find myself creating content like everyone else outside of the esports space. Because the validation factors aren't there, and I don't rate esports awards like that. I don't rate esports travel summit like that. I don't rate any of these conventions like that, because they don't possess the spirit that I feel Esports Business Network possesses. I don't put up with the people that don't have a true passion for esports. And I challenge them to just do something else. Like, if you don't love it, really love it, and that you're not in it every single day, do something else. Like, go find something else to do. Because every day I commit time and effort into building Esports Business Network. And so, I recently, this new episode of the Esports Business Network, I hope that people don't give me a lot of negative pushback, because I understand that people that hold the archetype like this guest that was just on, they're not, it's, for people who are truly esports, they don't like to see this sort of transition. I'm trying to be optimistic towards this guest that came on. And y'all can do the timestamps and look at it all. And maybe if you're watching this live, you can do the research and look into this. But yeah, this guest that came on, I hope that she doesn't rest on her laurels, and that she's looking to do more with the space than just, see it as a job, as a career, and that there's a true infatuation with the space, and that there's, and it's not just the 10, it's not just the 10% of what esports is that is highlighted within the fabricated professional scene of esports. Hopefully that professional scene and those brands are able to innovate or they're just able to see that they're not doing justice to the esports industry. They're not doing justice to the esports culture. and that they can correct and navigate in a way to better that. And I think that the next thing that I should talk about is like the reason why, like, esports, and I'm being a little bit of a hypocrite here, because the production companies that build content in esports double dip in other industries outside of esports, and they're not they're not just servicing esports fans and gamers, and they're servicing other things like traditional sports, traditional entertainment, music, fashion, and other industries, is because, yeah, again, there's just not enough money to sustain. It just doesn't appear that way. So entrepreneurs like myself, and I, you know, I'm a contractor as well, I work with other production companies, is that I find work with Cyber City Media in other things, you know, influencers, media gigs, and, you know, opportunities outside of esports, because the cash is just not being thrown around in my direction. And maybe that's because I'm just not the best pole dancer, you know. Maybe I need to dance the pole more. Maybe I need to be on Twitch for more hours. Maybe I just need to be making a bigger fool out of myself about maybe some ridiculous idea that I have on my mind. That's not, you know, it's not warranted or held in a way that people can understand. I don't know. I don't see it. And then it all kind of loops back around. And this is why I'm constantly going in circles, is because I'm looking in all these different directions for sustainability, for something that's going to, you know, that's going to pay the bills consistently. And that I'm not having to run around in multiple different directions to scrape a few pennies together, to be able to afford, housing, food, shelter, and water, right? Although I went to film school at the University of Hawaii, I've never leveraged that experience into a career in Hollywood. Being a filmmaker that produces content for Netflix, Amazon, or Hulu, or any online content distribution network that you get paid for making movies or television or documentaries or whatever. I just haven't done it. And it's something that, you know, I have to I have to get my mind wrapped around it to be focused on a particular thing, because there's a whole lot going on in my personal life, because I'm relatively connected with my family, my mom, my dad, my brother, my grandparents, people that I grew up, that when I grew up as a child were in my life, and they're still in my life, you know? And for many of us that are going through this human experience, our family isn't in our lives. And, you know, I had a period of time where my family was, you know, was disconnected from me. And I wasn't close to my family. For a few months, 6 months, just was disconnected. And I feel disconnected even today, from my family. But I'm required in many ways to assist in getting things done for them that they wouldn't be able to do in a timely manner on their own. But at the same point in time, I have to push the needle for the things that I need to get done to accomplish things in my short time on this little blue planet. And the mistakes that I have made, the debt that I've gotten myself into, whether that be student loan debt, credit card debt, car loan debt, the debt, like I have to work to pay that, and I have to discover opportunity to do things and be given the chance to make mistakes and be compensated for making those mistakes, because too many people work in the work environment, make mistakes every single day, and their intelligence levels are not any better than other people's, right? And so what makes them deserve the opportunity? And it comes down to sometimes that it's who they know, right? It's who they know, or the relationship that they built in that company, whether it be a startup, a small business, a medium-sized business, or a large business, big business, or extra large business, whatever size t-shirt you wear. Send me your shirt size. I'll send you a link to purchase an EBN t-shirt or an Austin Live and Local t-shirt. Get some merchandise. Like, comment, and subscribe. Go to my website, trentknox.com. Look at what I'm about. Find yourself an opportunity on my website. Book me for consultation. Book me out for being an agent. Just do business. Let's do business in some form or fashion. If you have capital and you're looking to accomplish something, I'm a viable, person to work with. And I think that is where I think that was the message that I think the value that I got from the conversation with the last guest on Esports Business Network, his podcast, was to be a viable business person, you have to make yourself available. And even though I sold, in that episode, I was the one who threw the alley-oop for her to dunk the basket and maybe, she's not necessarily in high demand, but she's booked. She's a booked person, and she may not be fully booked. Maybe there's an opportunity that runs across her table that she might, be enticed to make that deal with you or whoever it may be. But I encourage you to go work with her if that's the type of person you want to work with, right? But I see it from, I make this statement so that you can look and see what's going to be best for you, and whether it is someone who has their foot in one foot in and out of the door, with esports, gaming, fashion, music, whatever it may be. If you're working at Burger King flipping burgers but playing, streaming, 5 to 8 hours every single night, grinding hard to make it happen, that's something to be done. Someone, you could also do what I do and attend events, create video content, collaborate with the event coordinators, produce a portfolio, leverage that portfolio to go and gain clients in other industries. Just getting your name out there and being in the conversation, creating the conversation, being present, no matter what, like no matter what you look like, no matter what you believe, no matter what you feel, just being involved, being engaging, being active, and hustling. being someone that has morals and values, someone that believes in authenticity, like what I'm doing with Austin Live and Local, someone that really believes in community, because it starts off with the foundation of community, and not an audience or a demographic or an email list to sell some product or service or brand to. It has to be a community of people that want to engage with each other, that want to find romance, that want to be like involved in each other's lives, create friendships, long lasting relationships. Because we can't all just be colleagues, coworkers, associates, adversaries, competitors, all of these capitalist ideas of just like always working, always being on the grind, building business, you know, selling a product, being a consumer, being a producer, being all these heavy things, being a lobbyist, being a politician, being a being a capitalist, like being a socialist, being a dictator or something, you know, like just constantly dealing with all of this headache and yaya. I hope that what people will have gotten out of this rant and podcast is motivation of, as always, but a strategy to organize their thoughts in a way for business, for personal, for family, for country, for every aspect of life. And in order to, and I want to wrap this up. The sun is on its way down here. And I'm going with the flow, going with the time, going with the current. I'm in it. And I'm in it to win it, baby. And you should be in it to win it, too. This has been the Trent Knox Podcast. Follow me on all social media, Trent Knox or Trent Knox TV. Go to TrentKnox.com. Get involved. Go to Esports Business Network. Go to Cyber City Media. Whatever your needs are for esports, we've got you on Esports Business Network. Join the community. Cyber City Media, of course, if you need some production and you're in the Austin, Texas area, I'm there. Multicam, live stream, photography, whatever it is that you need to help motivate and get people to show up for your events, for your businesses, wherever you are. If you need help making your short film, making your commercial, whatever it be, Cyber City Media is the name, and creating media is the game. And Austin Live and Local, as always, it's part of the community. If you're an Austinite, get involved with Austin Live and Local. We're doing some social movements on the time. We're trying to get the Austin Live and Local podcast back up. Live from the ATX. We're also working on, you know, doing some events again. It's all a process in getting involved in there. And the next project that I probably will do, who knows what? I'm still looking at it. You know, there's always the opportunity to create a CBD company or get on the blockchain, or you know, as soon as, you know, maybe even some way of creating a cannabis business in some other state. If anybody wants to talk about cannabis business, or you know, and being an evangelicist to me about the cannabis business, I'd love to hear about getting my can in a business. and any sort of emerging technology as far as apps or whatever is concerned, send me an email, trent@trentknox.com. If you want to book a consultation with me to talk and discuss your goals, your journey, what you want to accomplish, the hurdles that you want to get over. If you're thinking about going to film school and you want to hear from someone that's been to film school and learned independent production, that's learned how to navigate in the culture of a film school, what to do, what not to do, what books to read, what books not to read, what books to what sort of people to listen to, what you should be focusing on. You can book a consultation with me by going to, I think it's calendly.com/TrentKnox/meeting. And you can get a meeting with me, a 15-minute meeting, and we can just discuss your goals and what you're looking to accomplish. Again, this has been the Trent Knox Production. And this is the Trent Knox podcast. This was Hard Knox Life with Trent Knox. Thank you.